This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you. Thank you. Holy Father, you are holy. You are holy, Jesus. You are holy. You are holy, Holy Spirit. You are holy. God Trinity, you are holy. We worship you. We come this afternoon, Father, to hear what is on your heart. We can communicate with you. We can hear what you want to share with us this afternoon, Father. Maybe we've got other thoughts in our minds of what happened in the morning or maybe during the week. But we cut it off in the name of Jesus Christ. And we say those thoughts are not going to keep us busy. We've got an encounter. We've got a meeting with the Lord, with the living God now. We want to hear from him what is on his heart and what he wants to share with us this afternoon. And Father, if there's anything of an unclean spirit or anything of a religious spirit floating around and wants to steal of our thoughts and of our thinking, I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. You've given us authority to do so, Father, and we use that authority so that we can focus, Father, that we can be amazed of who you are, because we've been singing it. You're so great. You're so awesome. You are holy. Thank you, Father, that we can come and we can listen to you in Jesus' name. As we were worshipping, I asked, I said, Lord, is there somebody who's got a testimony? Is there somebody who's got a word that you got through when we were worshipping? And is there maybe somebody who's got a tongue? And I felt that the Lord said, there's somebody who's got a testimony that you would like to share with us today. And there's somebody who's got a word as well, a word which the Lord, or the Holy Spirit, put on your heart as we were worshipping. So if you're one of those two, I'm inviting you to come and to share it with us.
Hello, I just want to share. 2 years ago on a Bambi camp, two women came to me and said, like, Jesus wants you to play violin. And after the camp, like, I tried to go find someone who can give me violin lessons, but the women didn't answer. And yes, this week I got the violin. Like, Jesus told someone to buy it for me, and yeah, now I'm busy learning to play violin.
Somebody who's got a word. If it's something which is popping up during the sermon again, please feel free to come to me and you can share it with us at the end of the sermon.
I don't know, I haven't done this before, but like this.
Okay,
is,
you've got a brother standing next to you.
I know Joel for quite a while now, actually from back in South Africa, from Stellenbosch, and he dragged me along to Shofar back in Stellenbosch, maybe like 5 years ago already. And I really got close to the Lord and I kind of ran away, or I would say I kind of got attacked in a sense that I think the devil didn't like the good space that I was in. And I don't know, I ended up like really wandering far off the path, and like some crazy things happened, and like now it's 4 years later and he was like messaging me. He's like, you're also in Holland studying, I'm in Holland studying. And he told me like, yeah, just come check out Shofar again, or come check out church with me. And it's super weird because I really struggled with a lot of addictions, and you know, nobody's perfect, but I think I've really gotten rid of some of my biggest fears, and I'm still like on the road to recovery, I want to say, or to where I want to be. But like, especially I came to Holland, but like people were like, why are you going to a place where it's legal to smoke marijuana if that's one of your biggest fears? And I was like, because I want to conquer my biggest fear where it's most difficult, or where it, so then I know I can conquer it anywhere in the world. And I opened up to Jock, and like I told him, I was like, I mean, I don't even have the temptation. It's been like 5 months that I don't want to touch marijuana. Like, I'm scared. I don't want to like relate to it. So if my friends at university are going to do it, I'm going to be there, but they're going to respect me. And that's something that God really helped me with. Like, some weeks is better than other, you know, when you get close to God and you talk to him, you maybe get like really difficult things over your path some weeks than others, like really challenging things, and you're far away. But this was really cool for me to see him again, because he's always such a good spirit around me, and he always has such good influences. And I think there's also like there's maybe one or two small things that I can also learn him sometimes, even though I'm like his younger little brother in spirit. Like, it's cool. Yeah, that was it. And it was just like I got this feeling when I was standing there, like, I don't know, it's just like this morning we were talking and I was reading my devotional and Jock was listening to his because he's lazy to read. And then I got like this thing about like, if you, my message was basically like, if you have, because the guy was talking about he needs, back then he needs $500, he needed $500 to make the thing, and he said it was a lot of money back then to make church happen the evening, and he was like getting a word out of, I think, Psalm or somewhere, or it was Peter, I'm not sure, but I'm not, can't remember that well, Peter. Yeah. And then he was like talking about giving the Lord your worries. So like for me, still a few things, like I want to stop slowly but surely, like smoking cigarettes. I already smoke like 2 or 3 cigarettes, but I want to quit it completely, you know. There's a lot of things, and if you're going to give God these worries and just throw it at him every time the thought comes up, like today, every time I make myself a promise, like every time the thought comes up or I see someone, I'll be like, God, you take this, I don't want to think about it, you just, and that is why he's there for you. So I don't know if that makes any sense to y'all, and if that was the right thing, but yeah, it's good to be back.
And my devotional was also about kind of areas of compromise in your life, and I'm like kind of committing to someone in the faith to really be accountable and share that stuff and be open about it. And we actually spoke about that and made agreements yesterday, because he slept over on campus with me, and then the next morning it was like exactly that. So I was like, oh well, we're doing this anyway, but
we're
this is cool.
Anyway, so like, I'll see you next week Sunday, and hopefully we got some more feedback.
What I felt that the Lord is putting on my heart this week, where I've got to share about today, is about commitment. And commitment is not a nice word, but before I'm going to speak a little bit about it, I came back on Friday, and then the last time that I've seen you over here, I said, I'm going to South Africa, I'm going to the kids, and I'm going to grandchildren. You can show that picture. On the left-hand side, on the left-hand side, it was, he was not even 24 hours old. He's born on Friday, 13th of April. So Friday the 13th, you must have said. God is above all. And then the second one, when he was approximately 2 or 3 days old, and when he opened up his eyes, when he was laying on my legs, then I quickly grabbed the phone and I made a picture. So yes, the Van der Veen clang is extending on this world. It's becoming bigger and bigger. And it's awesome, because this is blood of my blood. And this is offspring of mine. These are descendants of mine, the children, when I saw them as well. There are 4 grandchildren now over there. And that's very important, because we, as we go through just now, we will see how important it is, or how important people are seeing it, of offspring. People are going to come and follow your children, who are going to inherit what you're going to get today. Coming back again to the word commitment, we all have got commitments due to agreements. You've got, for instance, a mobile phone, and you've got a contract with it. You pay, and they give you time. If you don't pay, they don't give you time. It's an agreement. I mean, it's a commitment from both sides. And as long as the commitment is there, there's actually a type of an agreement between the two parties. The same with work. You go to work, and you're not getting an attendance fee. You're getting a salary. So at the end of the month, if you worked enough hours, they put some money in your bank. And that's a commitment, because you are doing certain things what they are asking you to do. You commit that you will do also what they're asking you to do. You will wear certain clothes. You will talk a certain language. You will operate in a certain office and on a certain computer, and so on and so on. So there is a commitment, what you've got, and you bring that to your work. This week, Wednesday, when I was in South Africa, at the company what I've got in Cape Town, we've got the habit of, and it's a good habit, on each and every Tuesday morning, we've got devotion. But I wasn't there on Tuesday, so they said, can you take responsibility on Wednesday? I said, it's fine, I'll do that. And I felt that the Lord was saying to me then already, and that's why, how should I say, but I felt the Lord was preparing me, because I already prepared a little bit for Wednesday, and I could use that again for today's sermon as well. And as I was sitting behind my desk and I was waiting for to become 7:30 that I could do the devotion, And I heard one of those guys said that it was going to be about commitment. He walked out from his wife on Sunday after 9 years of marriage. So I prayed, I said, Lord, must I say, must I talk about commitment? Because this guy has got a problem with it, a huge problem. And the Lord said, he's got to hear it. So I didn't worry. I said what I felt that the Lord was putting on my heart to share it with him about commitment. And I asked him afterwards as well. And I said to him, please, take time. Take a week and then spend time and ask what the Lord is telling you, what you've got to do with it. Commitment, it's nearly a swear word nowadays. Because we do not want to commit. And I went into a dictionary to get a little bit of a meaning from commitment and what it actually means, where it says being dedicated to a cause or to an activity, and where you also have got certain synonyms which are coming along with it: devotion, a loyalty, a faithfulness, and an adherence. And we can all understand it, that is coming along with commitment, or with the word commitment. And then the other, which is also going along with it, it's an engagement or an obligation that restricts freedom of action. So if you're going to commit yourself, you're going to lose of your freedom. Now, if I'm going to ask you over here now, your relationship with God, those who've got a relationship with God, has it given you freedom or has it restricted you? I'm not going to ask any hands, but most probably the people will say, I got freedom. Because it didn't limit me, it actually gave me more space because I knew what God wanted me to do. It wasn't a matter of that God is limiting me now, I've got to do only those type of things. No, it gives me a lot of freedom. And then a synonym with the commitment word is then a responsibility, obligation, duty, liability, burden, pressure. Our generation is scared of commitment. We're always feeling FOMO. That's a word which I learned. Fear of missing out. And we barely keep small promises in fear of better options coming along. I never thought I would use that word in a sermon, but if we take a look at the world, if it's advertisement action, what the people have got, they use this. They use that fear. The date of when that special is going to be over is sometimes bigger on the piece of paper as what the special itself is. You must buy before that date. And if you do not buy before that date, you're going to miss that special. It's nonsense. You can buy afterwards also at that same price. You just want to get rid of some surplus stock or whatever the case may be. But we're continuously running from one thing that we're fearing that we're going to miss out. And continuously, we are running from one to the other, but we're not committing. I tried to look it up on Google, if there is such a type of a saying, because I've heard it, a promise is there to be broken. A commitment is there to be broken. I couldn't find it. So maybe in the area where I moved around, that it was one of those which has been used quite a lot. I'm not quite sure. Maybe you've heard of that one before. Promise is there to be broken, or a commitment is there to be broken. And commitments also, if we've got commitments, and if we make a commitment in public, we've got a tendency that those commitments are lasting longer. So yes, if we baptize somebody, we make it public, if there are more people around, then it's going to last longer. Now I'm going to draw a little bit of a circle, and the circle is going to become each and every time wider and wider of commitment. Now the first commitment is to myself. Now I've got a commitment to myself that I will wash myself, I will give myself food, I will look after myself, I will shave myself, all those type of things. I will look after myself and myself. There are certain people who are battling with it. They already have got a problem. Then we're not even talking about any other commitments. Because the problem is they cannot even commit to themselves, to look after themselves. So they cannot find a job, they cannot stay in a house, they cannot be married, because simply commitment doesn't fit in their vocabulary. It doesn't exist. If we draw the circle a little bit wider, then we come to our family. I had a privilege of that I could visit my dad. He's 91 years old. He's got Alzheimer's, so he didn't recognize me. We both of us have got the same name. The last time I greeted, I said Berkjan, and he also said Berkjan, so that didn't help that much. But I've got a commitment towards him because he's my dad. When I went to South Africa, I put in that effort and I went and visited him because it's necessary. It's that commitment what we've got with family. We know our father and our mother, we will find them. We will give them a ring when it's their birthday. We've got that commitment. We've got that relationship with them. Then we're coming to a partner. Because a lot of people nowadays think that marriage is going to last as long as what you're dissatisfied, or one of the persons is dissatisfied with the others. Then you can just actually leave it. And I didn't even want to go at statistics because they look terrible, the statistics. Certain countries were even up to 70% of the marriages which were running into a divorce. But it's very important that we commit ourselves to another person, because this is what God also instituted. He instituted marriage, that people are committing to each other. Single man over here, and I'm talking to you, we're not married yet. There are ladies waiting for you to commit yourself. We are in a generation that people are not committing themselves. And if you're here today, and if you say, I'll think about it, commit yourself. Ladies, just wait and pray that the husbands are going, that the people are going to commit. Before we came to Utrecht, me and my wife, it was approximately half a year before, we felt that the Lord was saying to us we had to make the vows again. And when I got married, which is 30-something years, I can't remember, 34 years back. It changes each and every year, so I've got to... I felt I just made a vow to Renee. And I said, okay, I'll do this and that and that and that, and that's fine. But then we did it again. And the kids were around it. The one was even Skyping in. And it had much more value. Because this time, I was making a vow to God. Which means that if I was planning of breaking up beforehand, I would have gone to Renee and I would have said, like a lease agreement, sorry, didn't work. Let's just go our own lives. But this time, I've got to go to God. And I've got to say, God, I made a vow to you that I wouldn't leave her. And I've got to go back to God. And I've got to say to him, I can't keep up my side. I can't keep up my commitment. It helped us quite a lot to understand it and to see it like this. And as we are doing marriage and marriage preparation at the moment as well, this is one of the things which is awesome that we can share it, how important it is. We're not making a commitment to each other. We're making a commitment to the living God that you will stay to each other and stay together. The next circle is your study. Those of you who are studying, you know, you can go to university, but there's a certain commitment which is asked. If you do not attend classes, if you do not write exams, if you do not hand in your assignments, the university is not going to hand out your degree. They will most probably say, try again. And after two tries, they will most probably say, please go back from where you're coming from. But we don't think that you're a good student. Again, there's commitment. And of those students are really committing themselves, working long hours. Then your work, I just now mentioned it as well. It's the work, it's that commitment what you make to your work, that you will be on time. For me, that's always the reflection of how serious the people are, if they are on time or not on time. If they're not on time, then it's not that important. Yes, there can be the problem in traffic, that you are going to be a little bit late, but not each and every time. The next circle is your country. So all of you who are Dutch citizens, on Friday it's King Day, and you must be there. It's a commitment what you make to your country, because the country is also looking after you. If you commit yourself that you're going to drive on the right-hand side, it's fine. All of us are going to do it. But if you think, okay, you're going to try and drive on the left-hand side, because you think the Dutch government, I don't worry about it, you're going to have problems. A lot of problems. So yes, we also have got commitments toward the country. I'm not even talking about taxes and all that. And there are two things that I wanted to quickly just have a look at. And one is trust. If we've got a commitment with another person, if we've got a commitment with your work or whatever it is, as you supply and they're giving back, and as the relation is carrying on, you create trust. And that trust is building up, and it makes it for you next time. It is that you say, yes, work will look after me, so I'll make sure I'll be there. I will do whatever has got to be done. And you have a relationship. You've got a healthier relationship than with that side. And then the next commitment is towards God. And that's the one where I would like to spend a little bit of time on this afternoon. The word contract doesn't actually exist in the Bible. And the word what's used over there is covenant. God is committed to us. And there's not actually a contract. And the Bible is actually full of it. God is committed to us. He wants to give us the best. And we cannot make an agreement with God. We cannot go into a covenant with God. God can only go into a covenant with us, because he's making that covenant. And what we can do is we can react on that covenant, and then we can commit ourselves to that covenant. First one, covenant I would like to have a look at, is the one which God made with Noah. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you. God is making that covenant, not Noah, but God. Which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations, generations to come. Are we coming back again, what I said in the beginning? How important it is for the generations to come, for the descendants. I set my rainbow in a cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And then the word which is used over there is a covenant. It's a compact. And then the word compact, I'll come back just now onto it. The next one is the covenant which God made with Abraham. And when God started talking to Abraham that he wanted to make a covenant with him, what was Abraham's first reaction? Sorry, it was Abraham. The child just now, my youngest grandchild is Abraham. So this is Abraham before his name changed. God wanted to make a covenant with him. And what was the first reaction of Abraham? He said, but I haven't got any children of my own. I haven't got any, nearly would say, legal child. I haven't got any heirs. And then God replied, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir. This is the one which was in his house. But one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord and accounted it to him for righteousness. So God is taking him outside and says, okay, have a look at the sky. The weather the last week, yes, you could see stars. You could see how many stars were there. You could see how many descendants Abraham was going to get. So that was the reply. And Abraham believed the Lord. He put a trust in the Lord that was going to happen. And how did God make a covenant with Abraham? How did he make that covenant? And that we can read in Genesis 15, 17 to 18. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. If we make a contract nowadays, then it's a signature, what we've got to make. In that time, it was different. What they did at that time, they took an animal, they cut it in two pieces, put it aside, and they walked through those two pieces. And by walking through those pieces, it was the same as what we would put in a signature nowadays. A little bit different. Because I think it would be strange if we were going to sign a mobile contract and they get a chicken there and they cut it. It's not happening. But from there, in English, we've got a saying, cut a deal. It's coming from there. And strike a bargain. It's coming from there. In the English words, but we can see how a contract was made. Because God gave an instruction to Abraham, and he said, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, and a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And then he brought all of these to him and cut them in two, down in the middle, and placed each piece opposite to each other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And then we can see then that God, a smoking oven and a burning torch, passed through it. So he confirmed that covenant. It was a standing covenant now. God was continuously committed to the people of his, what he created, his creation. And he continuously was trying to, should I say, to keep that covenant going. He even sent a lot of prophets as well to remind them each and every time, the people from Israel, that there was a covenant between the Lord. And then there was a period when it was quiet. That's where the Old Testament is stopping, and it is Malachi. That is 400 years. It was silence. And then came Jesus. And Jesus came with a new covenant. And he says there in Matthew 26, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And then the word over there, covenant, it means properly a disposition, a contract, a will of somebody, of what has got to happen, a covenant, a testament. So we've got the Old Testament and the New Testament, we've got an old covenant and we've got a new covenant. And then the covenant, what Jesus said, is his blood would cover all our sins. Through his death, we would have life. So we cannot make a covenant with God. But there are some people who try to make an agreement, a vow, a type of a contract with God. They will say, if you let me win the lotto, of those 10 million, I'll give half to the church, and I will do set up each and every Sunday. That's manipulating. That's not a vow, and that's not a covenant. It's just manipulating. We can't make those type of vows. Because a vow is a promise which you make to God. You promise something to God of what is going to happen. The word which is close to it is an oath. But the oath you make to somebody else, and you include God in that oath what you make. And God is your witness. And in the Old Testament, the important thing was, if you were making a vow, or you were making an oath, and you were not keeping it, he would kill you. If something like that would have done nowadays, we're not keeping our vow of our, not our contracts, we would have had a little bit of a problem over here. So we cannot manipulate God, because there's no trust. You're basically doing it on your terms. We can't do it like that. We can only go into an agreement with God, and a covenant with God, but it's coming from his side. Numbers 32 says, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all the proceeds out of his mouth. Now I'm inviting you to have a look at a vow which has been made. It's just a little bit of a strange type of vow, and also what happened after the vow. And it's the vow of Jephthah. Jephthah was one of the judges. He was one of the judges which wasn't appointed by God, but he was appointed by the elders. And once he started operating, God filled him with the Holy Spirit. So God gave his approval afterwards. And Jephthah made a vow. He actually made a very hasty vow, which I think he most probably repented from afterwards. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon in my hands, then I will be there. Then it will be whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the people of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it as a burnt offering." So he's basically saying to the Lord, "Lord, if I can defeat the Ammonites, and if I'm coming home again, whatever is coming out of my house, I will offer it as a burnt offering." And who came out? Jephthah's daughter, his only child. When Jephthah came to his house at Mizpah, there was his daughter coming out to meet him with timbrels, which is apparently a tambourine.
I think so.
Thank you. And dancing. And she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he tore his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You are among those who trouble me, for I've given my word to the Lord, and I cannot go back to it." Because he's going back to what we just now read from Numbers. That is in Numbers. He said, "If a man makes a vow, then he shall do according to all proceeds out of his mouth." And then the daughter is listening to the father. So she said to him, "My father, if you've given your word to the Lord, do to me according to what has gone out of your mouth, because the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, the people of Ammon." And then she said to her father, "Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone for 2 months, that I can go and wander on the mountain and bewail my virginity, my friends and I." And then Jephthah said, "Go." And he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her friends and bewailing her virginity on the mountains. And it was so at the end of the 2 months that she returned to the father. And he carried out his vow with her, which he had vowed. She knew no man. There was no offspring for Jephthah. There were no children for Jephthah. It was his only daughter. It must have been very hard for this guy when he came home and he saw his daughter coming out. This guy made a vow, a hasty vow. And he had a lot of nonsense in his life. Because when he was born, his dad slept with a prostitute. So he was a half-brother. And all the other brothers kicked him out of the house. He said, "You're not going to inherit anything. You must stay on your own." Then he started staying on his own. And then all the people who didn't find a house or whatever it is, they all went to him. And he started raising a tabor, here you can say an army. But he was managing it well. And when the Israelites had problems with Ammon, with the Ammonites, they said, "We're going to ask him." And when they came the first time, he said, "But you've chased me away and now you're asking me that I should lead your army. I'm prepared to lead your army, but I'm going to be your leader also afterwards. I'm going to be the head, the chief afterwards." And they said, "Okay, it's fine." And then he managed to beat the Ammonites. But he made a vow and he had to do what he has said in his vow. And then the vow by Jephthah, what he had made, two ways of how people are having a look at it. And you can call them theologians or whatever it is. The one says, straightforward, Jephthah carried out his vow with her as he had vowed. Which means, if we take a look at beforehand, it says, "I will offer it as a burnt offering." So he would have brought his daughter, he would have killed his daughter and burnt her then as a burnt offering. But then there are other people who say, but wait, there's, there are a few things that we should have a look at it. The first thing is that human sacrifice is against the law. God is not going to accept that offering. If you're going to kill your daughter, and if you're going to offer it to the Lord is not going to accept it, because that is not what the Lord wants. It's a pagan tragedy. And Jephthah was also, in the areas where he was very close to Syria and to the other people around him who were doing it. They were offering their children. So he wasn't unknown to that. So that's the one thing, that the human sacrifice against law, it was a violation of the divine law. There was no condemnation. There were not people around him who said, Jephthah, what are you doing now? You're doing something against the law of Moses. You cannot bring your child as a burnt offering. And then we're coming to one where it says the correct language. Because if you read it again, it says, when I return in peace from the people, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. The word which has been put in there is and. But we also can translate the word with all. Because somewhere else in the Bible, in Exodus, it says, he who curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. That all is exactly the same word as the and over here. So if we are going to change it a little bit, and it's going to look like this. Jephthah is saying, the first one who will come out of his house to meet him will be given to the Lord. If there's no one who will come out, he would give a burnt offering instead. A little bit technical, eh? Mm. Then having a look at the behavior of Jephthah's daughter. What is Jephthah's daughter doing? He's asking that he can go into the mountain along with friends, female friends, going into the mountain and spend time over there. Now, if you knew that your time was over within 2 months, you're not going into the mountain with your friends. You want to spend time with your family, the ones who you really love. So that's also why they think that the daughter hasn't been sacrificed over there. The daughter hasn't been brought up to a burnt offering. And it's also the puzzling languages, of the puzzling language. Because why is it said over there? She was not intimate with the man. Why is it so important over here? Because death is much more important than spending time with a man. And then the last of the next one is that Jephthah's daughter has been seen as a hero. You're not going to make a person who's been sacrificed, you're not going to make a person a hero. You're not going to do that. It's somebody who's committed them from the day onwards, committed their life to God, which means that she was not going to get married. That's more a possibility over here. And then the last one is death penalty on sacrificing one of your childs. In Leviticus 20, verse 2, Moses imposes death penalty upon anyone who sacrifices one of his children to Molech. So taking those two in considerations, you can think whatever you want to think. My feeling is coming back again to the descendants, coming back again to the first reactions of Abraham. There was no one after the daughter anymore because it stopped over there. And that was more important for Jephthah. It was like there's no future anymore. 6 years after that, he passed away. Why so short and so on, it doesn't say in the Bible. And we do not see or hear anything from this whole story again, except in Hebrews. Then a few of those judges' names are mentioned again by Paul, but it also doesn't elaborate further on what Jephthah is concerned. So what I'm trying to say over here is this. If we make a vow to God in a relationship with God, we shouldn't make a hasty one. We should think about it, because this guy made a very hasty vow and it costed him dearly. It's a relationship what we've got with God, and it's a relationship to other people in the church. Here we are also committed to each other, because that's actually why we are here. if we've not committed to the church, we wouldn't have been here. We would have most probably, some have said, sorry, I'm not going to come. For me, it's too late, too early. The weather is better outside. Whatever reasons we've got. But if we are committed, then we are here. If we are committed, then we can have church over here. The Shofar Utrecht is over here. It's not as a result of a decision of somebody. It is of people who are committing themselves to say that this is what the Lord is telling us to do. Committing is very important to the other people in the church. And then we're also committed to other people outside the church. Because our commitment to the things that we're doing outside is reflecting our Christianity. Because if we're not keeping our promises, if we're not keeping our commitments, we're not reliable, we're not trustworthy. And I think if we go and have a look at God, what God has been doing, He's been doing nothing else than always keeping His word, always committing to us. And He's asking exactly the same for us to do. As Christians, we are called to keep our commitments because it's important to God, as what we can see in Numbers. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. And then in Matthew 5 again, Jesus is also talking about it. Again, you heard that it was said in those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oath to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, nor shall you swear by the head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. We should be known, Christians should be known for commitments, commitments to God. God is making that covenant with us, and we're reacting on it. We're making that commitment. In reply, we commit ourselves to God. God showed His commitment directly from the beginning, when He created heaven and earth, and when Adam and Eve slipped up over there, He could have wiped it off and said, okay, earth, gone, Mars, I'm going to try up there. God was committed. He was committed to His creation. He didn't run away from His creation. He kept with His creation. And He made a covenant, like we've seen, with Noah, with Abraham. And He brought the Israelites out of Egypt into Israel. But the Israelites were battling to keep the commitments from their side. They'd eat every time. Fading away, doing other things, but not doing what God asked him to do, not committing to what God asked him to do. The Lord has been sending prophets. Again, up till the end of the Old Testament, but it stopped and it was quiet for 400 years. 400 years is a long period. So God was first talking now and then, I actually can say, with people like Noah and Abram. He wasn't continuously in a communication with them. It was now and then He was talking to them. When it was in the desert, He started being among them. Because it was with the ark, He was among His people. But then in the New Testament with Jesus, God wants to be in us. He wants to be one with us. He's not a distant anymore. So we can continuously communicate with God. We can continuously keep that relationship going. And then it's much easier to be committed to God. Because if you take a look at some of those stages in between, with Abraham as well, I would have said, Lord, but I want to speak to you. And it's quiet. The Lord is just now and then sending a message. But like all of us with WhatsApp, we're continuously sending messages. This is how the Lord wants to talk to us. This is how he wants to be in a relationship with us. But are we allowing God in our lives? Are we prepared to react on that covenant that God is offering to us? Or are we saying it, Lord, it's all fine and well, but it only can be done that way? Because you see, on a Monday, it's very difficult for me to stand up. I can't have quiet time beforehand. It's impossible. On a Monday evening, I'm going to play tennis. Tuesday, sorry, Lord, I can't make it to the intercession because my friend is going to come, and so on, and so on, and so on. So maybe next week, Sunday, I'll come to church again. That's not commitment. That's not a relationship. That is manipulating God. Putting God in a place where you want him to be. Are we committed? Are we really committed to God? And I don't want to make it a condemnation that I say, but people, you're not committed to God and you're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. And so, no. What I actually wanted to share with you this afternoon is that we serve such an awesome God for as long as what we know him from generations. He's got one thing on his mind. It's you. Nothing and nobody else. It's you. And he wants to have a relationship with you. And he's waiting for you. We've been singing it as well, with open arms, that we can run into his arms, that we can say Father to him. And that we can be committed to him. That we can say, nothing is too difficult for me. I will spend time with the Father. I will communicate with the Father. And I will ask him and tell him. He wants to be with us, but it's for us to decide. Are we going to allow him in his life? Or are we going to say, sorry, not now. I'm busy with that. Busy with that 3 years' time, 5 years' time. God is waiting for us continuously. Let's stand. Father, you are committed to us. But we are not always committed to you, Father. And this afternoon you speak to us, and this afternoon you come to us and you say, but son, daughter, I'm waiting for you. Come to me. And Lord, as all the eyes are closed and believers are praying, I'm asking you, if you've never made that commitment to God in your life, you've never reacted on that invitation of God, you've never acknowledged that covenant what God is making with you, then today is the day that you can react on that invitation. Today is the day that you can say, God, I want to call you Father. Jesus, thank you for that you died for me on the cross. I can repent of my sins and fill me with the Holy Spirit. And maybe it's you this afternoon that the Lord is speaking to, that you feel something inside which is stirring. And I'm asking you to lift your hand. If it's you that the Lord is speaking to, if it's you that the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart, that he wants to have a commitment from you and you want to react on it, I'm asking you to lift your hand. Maybe you are here that you say, I made somewhere a vow in the past. I made a mistake. Because you didn't keep that vow. And I'm inviting you as well just now to come forward, that you can bring it to the Lord, that we can pray in agreement with you. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We all make mistakes. God is perfect. And he's coming to us. He says, bring it to me. But we've got to bring it to him. He knows already, but we've got to bring it to him. So I'm inviting you If you've made vows in the past and you couldn't keep those vows, you were not like Jephthah, who kept his vow, even what it was costing him dearly, that he, we maybe can say, he didn't have any offspring anymore, he didn't have any descendants anymore, but he kept his promise. But you didn't keep your promise. And I'm inviting you to come forward as well, that we can pray along with you. And maybe there's something in your life that you know that you've got to make a commitment. That continuously you're pushing it forward and pushing it forward and pushing it forward. The Holy Spirit will talk to you. The Holy Spirit will say, but now it's time. You cannot move it any further. You've got to make the decision now. If that's you, that you've got to make a decision, then I'm asking you to come forward as well. That you can bring it to the Lord and that we can pray in agreement with you as well. We're going to sing a song or two, and I'm inviting the people to come forward, and the small group leaders, I'm also going to ask them that they're going to facilitate along. That we can pray. And I speak a blessing over you. That you're going to be really committed to God. Not make God something or something like a TV or a cell phone which is got a remote control that you can switch on and off. God is continuously there. God was already here before we came. And God knows you. And he's waiting for you. He's standing there with his arms wide open and says, come, my child, come, I'm waiting for you. He wants to have that an intimate relationship with you, like a father has got with his child. Be a blessing.
Jesus Christ. You are my
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.